When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael Lee Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, don't make bad movies about nothing with bad shots and camera work, but a really cool soundtrack that doesn't really belong in this movie, Encarta.
Pretty long name, man.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty long name.
Fine.
Yeah. People, just a reminder that every time Sesame changes his name, he has to pay the name-changing people.
That's for every letter.
That's what they're called, right?
They're called, yeah, the name-changing people, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
So there's right above a sign above their door that says name-changing people.
Yeah, that's it. It's written in crayon.
I think you're going to somewhere that isn't, like,
legit. Oh, okay. And they also have, like, lemonade and stuff there, too. It's pretty, you know, interesting.
Is this, like, laced with anything, this lemonade?
No, it's just like lemonade, like you know, people sell you lemonade for like a dollar, and they have a thing where you could change your name to.
Are these like little kids?
They're small people. I don't really know. I didn't really think about. Yeah, they probably are.
I think some neighborhood kids are just messing with you, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense now that I think about it.
Do they have like a? I was thinking, did they have like a dog with like a circle around its eye and stuff? Are they like the little rascals?
No, or, no, but they did make me pay them once in the Super Soaker, which I thought was weird, but now it makes sense.
Yeah. Oh boy. But anyways, so Sesame can pay off the neighborhood kids,
for all the name changes I've done.
All the name changes, so they don't like you know, TP his house or something.
Or shoot me with the Super Soaker filled with, like, I don't know, gasoline or some shit. I don't know. That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? I don't know why I thought of that. This movie has broken me, dude.
I was just going to say, you might want to check out our Patreon or our TeePublic or other things and help us out so Sesame can, you know, fend off the neighborhood bullies. And, you know, so, yeah, and check out alltoreal2.com for all that information. Just getting that out of the way here before we get into the greatest film ever made. Yes. So,
yeah,
today on the show, we are covering a movie that is called Cry Wilderness. Came out in 1987. It was directed. It was directed by Jay Schlossberg Cohen, written by him, and Philip Yordan. Philip Yordan is basically written nothing to write home about.
Oh, Dillinger. He did Dillinger.
Oh yeah. He was nominated for best writing for Dillinger in 1945.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then he gets this gig.
He did win some stuff. Oh, yeah. I was just like, nothing to write home about. And then for some odd reason, when I'm reading his bio here, it didn't have Dillinger down until the accolades on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
And then it said he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Writing for Detective Story and Dillinger, Detective Story in 1951, won an Academy Award for Best Writing for Broken Lance in 1954.
Wow.
It was credited solely to Yordan, but written in large part by the film's director, Joseph Mankiewicz, who people will know as the brother to the writer of Citizen Kane.
Oh, wow.
And from the Mankiewicz family, including the Mankiewicz who's involved with the Young Turks and things.
Wait,
like
really?
That. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes, his, yeah, I'm trying to remember how they're related, but it's like his uncle or something. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the Mankiewicz are like film legends. Like the whole family is like, they're like a dynasty when it comes to film writing and screenplays and the basically other thing, you know. And like, yeah, Mankiewicz like film is a film critic and stuff, some of them, and some of the younger ones and different things. So yeah, that they're, so he's worked with some good people.
Yeah,
and somehow he wrote this.
Must have been like a bad time in his life.
Yeah,
when he decided to go ahead and do this. He even told the people, because they said, what, no violence, no sex, no horror scenes,
yeah,
no language. He's like, well, then you're pretty much asking for a story about nothing. And they're like, yeah, so why would you want a movie about nothing exactly? Like, well, a tax write-off? I don't know.
Well, Seinfeld had a TV series about nothing.
yeah, but I don't know.
That had more. That had more.
That's
plus.
What they say, though. But it's,
I know,
really,
but it was
not
actually
about
something.
Yeah.
So our movie stars Eric Foster as Paul Cooper, Maurice Grand Mason as Will Cooper, Griffin Casey as Morgan, John Tallman as Jim, and Faith Clift as Dr. Helen Foster.
Yep, those are our main cast
character. So
and we have some smaller roles too.
So
well,
how are you feeling after you watched this movie?
Delirious. I watched it twice, actually. Watched it last night and I watched it again today, and I feel all over the place, very confused, just kind of in a fog. Not pleasant, not very pleasant. It's almost like I've been shot with like a tranquilizer dart or something like that. It's kind of make me woozy, you know.
Can I ask you why you watched it a second time?
Because I like to punish myself, and I wanted to make sure that I had it embedded into my memory enough to talk about it. Even though I wrote 4 pages of notes, but apparently that wasn't enough for me. I needed to watch the second time to just really feel bad, you know?
Do I need to check on you later to make sure you
don't need any therapy
that you're just going to be sitting at home watching this and then until the day you die?
I'm probably going to need to talk about this my next therapy session for sure. Pretty much probably the entire session about having to endure this movie that I chose.
Yes.
My fault. I chose it because I saw one of my people I follow on YouTube, they reviewed it, and I was like, I didn't watch the review first, but I just like, oh, this looks weird. So I looked it up, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this looks weird enough to review. And
yep.
And then I watched it, and so
I vaguely remember a few years ago watching the Mystery Science Theater 3000 cover of, riff of this movie.
Wow.
But I did not remember anything that happened, and yeah.
Because nothing happens.
I know.
Like, literally nothing happened. Okay, like, 2 things happened in the movie. That's about it. An hour and a half long.
So, speaking of that, what happens in this movie?
Okay, so what happens? Well, the setup for what doesn't happen, I guess that's what you can consider what happens, is the setup with no payoff. So I guess technically that counts as something happening. So Paul, he's a boy. He's like maybe like 8 or 9 years old. He's on a school trip at a museum.
Like a natural history museum, I think.
Yeah, and he's with this class. Mind you, very prestigious school. He's on scholarship. You know, they pretty much live at the school.
Yeah, it's like a boarding school.
Yeah, he's staring at the statue of Bigfoot, or maybe it's not a statue. I don't know, because he looks just like the character in the movie.
It's called The Missing Link with a question mark next to it.
And
I was just going to say, in a natural history museum, which would, it do they have like a unicorn wing too or something, you know? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. So Mr. Douglas, who's their teacher or maybe their overseer or whatever, he's like, where's Paul? And they're like, I don't know. And so he's like, all right, take the rest of the kids and, you know, I'll go find Paul. So then he sees Paul just staring up at the statue like for like minutes, like just creepily staring, not breaking eye contact. I think Paul has a personality disorder. That's for later on to get into. But and so Mr. Douglas is like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you staring at Bigfoot? And he's like, I know him. And he's like, oh, you know Bigfoot, huh? Okay. And he's like, yeah, he gave me this thing, because he has like this cool necklace thing. And he's like, oh, Bigfoot gave you that. You know, he's kind of trying to humor him. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, how did you meet him? He's like, I gave him a piece of candy and then he liked it. So I gave him another piece of candy. And he's like, okay, like this story's not going very well. He's like, then I gave him Coca-Cola. He loves Coca-Cola. And I gave him a radio. And he likes rock music just like I do. And so he's like, okay, you're messing with me. Get the hell out of here.
I have a question here.
Yeah.
Why is it that in these movies, these creatures that hang out with kids love Coca-Cola?
Every single one. I think it's Coke probably had, and they were probably giving money to promote their brand. That's the only thing I could think of. But why would you spend money on this movie?
I mean,
to promote your brand.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't even know if they did. It might just
They may have just used it without permission.
Yeah. This isn't like Mac and Me that was like funded by Coke and McDonald's.
Yeah, it wasn't just like essentially like a commercial for McDonald's or Pepsi. Yeah.
Coke, you mean? Yeah.
So the Duggars, you know, entertains him for a while, and then he's like, all right, stop making up stories. We don't allow fairy tales to be taught in our prestigious school. So as punishment for having an imagination at the ripe old age of 8 or 9, he has to stand and face the wall in Dougie's huge office while his classmates are enjoying eating dinner in the mess hall. Well, not mess hall, whatever. Mess hall.
Yes.
In the cafeteria. Yeah, it's like what's boarding school. It gets kind of like military school.
Uh-huh.
He tells Paul one more time to stop telling lies about Bigfoot, and then he lets him eat dinner. That's another thing, too. So back in the 80s and 90s, for some reason, one of the punishments for children acting up was to literally make them face a wall, which I just think is like bizarre, but also like really cruel and like psychological torture in a way. Like
the thing that bothers me is that they make them not, they take dinner away from them or something. And it's just like,
that's the other thing too, which is that's malnourishment.
It's like
now,
corporal punishment, basically. Yeah.
Cause I had that happen to me a few times during recess when I was, I dared to defend a classmate who other people were bullying and making fun of because this person was born with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah.
And had like the shakes a lot because of it. And so I remember I had like a visceral reaction once to something this kid said. I know this is a weird story. He said about him, and for some reason, like, I got the joke almost immediately, which is weird because like usually it take me like a few seconds to like kind of understand the joke, but this was like instantaneous. And he's like, oh, I'm just making up the name, it's not a real name. What would happen if you put a glass of milk into Brian's hand? You'd get a milkshake. And like for some reason that just like triggered, like I saw red almost. I just started pushing this kid around because of it. And so then they made me face the wall while the bully got to continue bullying the other kid. Because that's what you do in schools. You know, when they say no tolerance for violence, what they really mean is no tolerance for defending yourself or others. Whereas the person who commits the violence, I guess that kind of makes sense because that's how the world works with Israel and Palestine and whatnot. But no matter. I guess that's where it starts. You know, that's where they started off.
Where the perpetrator becomes the victim because, you know.
Exactly. So I guess that, you know, tracks. But anyway, so... Uh-huh. Not going to get into that. But so at nighttime, Paul hears the voice of Bigfoot, who has perfect skill in the English language for some reason, which, okay, I didn't know Bigfoot spoke, let alone he spoke a certain language. But
yeah,
in this universe, Bigfoot speaks English, and
he speaks very well. But he speaks with a weird voice, like, Paul, you need to save your father.
Like, he's always yelling constantly. So he's like, your father is in great danger. Oh. And he's always accompanied with like a red light for some reason. And so this attracts the rest of his classmates who
He brings his own lighting and smoke machine with him everywhere he goes.
He does. No, that's what he does. See, yeah, he's got that going on. And so, you know, he wakes up all the other kids because he's, you know, looking around. And then, you know, Mr. Douglas shows up and gets really mad at them and says, Paul, tomorrow morning the principal is going to decide whether or not you're going to be expelled. And so Paul just decides, like, fuck this. And he just goes, leaves in the middle of the night anyway, which is, you know, really not safe to be doing when you're, like, 8 or 9 years old. He hitchhikes home to the wilderness and gets picked up by a truck driver.
Yeah, that, I'm like, that's okay. Safe. That's safe. And the thing is he wasn't obviously in a hurry because it's like he had no plan here because he's like strolling down the side of the highway like really slow and then he's all just of a walking. Sudden and then all of a sudden decides to hitchhike.
Yeah, he's like, oh, maybe I should hurry up there because Bigfoot told me my dad's in danger. I totally forgot what I was doing, and he's like, I was just going for like a stroll here in Idaho or whatever. No, I mean they're playing some Idaho. I don't think it actually takes place. I don't know where it takes place. It never says. Really.
I think it's like the Pacific Northwest. It seems like it, but who knows?
Yeah, it has to be something like that. And so, you know, this is before Stranger Danger came out with Courtney the Alien. He wasn't there to teach them street smarts and how. You know, to not accept rides, strangers, and whatnot. So, but you know, thankfully, this truck driver wasn't a creep, and he sent him on his way or whatever, unharmed.
Well, we don't know because we didn't see what really happened inside the truck because it cuts to the next scene. So it, you know, he could have been, you know, taken advantage of or something. Who knows?
I don't know. Paul didn't really evince any signs of trauma, so I'm just going to go with it was fine. That's my canon, at least, my belief.
Mine too, just saying.
Yeah. So, his dad's a forest ranger named William. Him and some other guys are trying to track down an animal that is freaking out all the other creatures and making them flee their packs and cubs. And the higher-ups want them to kill the animal, but Will and his Native American friend Jim want to tranquilize it instead. The reason why I say he's Native American, because this will come into play later on in the very unfortunate way. Mm-hmm. And Will brought home some raccoon cubs as a present.
Yeah.
So did he know that Paul was going to leave school before it was time?
Or maybe he was going to raise them until Paul came back from school for vacation or something.
That would be like a year from now?
I think it was getting close to like the holidays. So.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes there's snow on the ground and sometimes there's not. So it's hard to tell when this takes place.
Right, that makes sense. So Paul basically almost gets himself killed because he's hiding behind a big tree and Will thinks it's the animal and he points his gun at Paul and almost shoots him. But then he's like, Paul! And like, they have the weirdest relationship ever because like, I don't know, like, Paul's dad has like almost no emotion whatsoever.
Most of the people just, in this movie have no emotion.
Well, most of the people, like, yeah, I think they're all aliens just trying to mimic human emotions because like, and so... Paul's ADHD gets the best of him, and he just bolts through the forest alone as his dad yells his name with ever-decreasing audio as Paul has a quick solitary journey, again in the middle of the forest with wild animals.
Yeah.
And then he meets a bobcat and tries to pick him up for some reason.
Yeah, it's sadly not Goldthwait.
No, it's not that.
No, I was hoping. Sorry. I was hoping when they said bobcat, I was hoping that Bobcat Goldthwait was going to be in the movie and maybe make it at least a little bit better. You know,
so. Yeah, no, unfortunately, it's just a random bobcat. And then he dances around it. He keeps getting in its way to get its attention. He keeps, like, moving around. And it's just like, dude, he chases up a tree at one point. Paul's dad, okay, mind you again, Paul's dad is a forest ranger.
Uh-huh.
Paul has been to this forest on multiple occasions throughout his young life. He has spent entire summers here. How does he not know that it is dangerous to try to pick up a wild animal? Especially a bobcat.
Also, why is he hiding behind a tree when he encounters his dad?
That's the other weird thing.
That seems to be nowhere near their cabin. I would go to the cabin and wait for him there.
That's what I would do. But then again, I guess it's kind of good he didn't because of what later on happens in the cabin. I'm afraid of what would happen if he was alone in that situation, but that's a whole other thing. But and then speaking of which, when they get to his cabin... Of course, in these movies, that's another thing I don't like. I'm going to nitpick here. Why is it that in so many movies, when someone breaks into a house, they always leave the door open? Like, why can't they just shut it? Like, I don't understand. Like, why did, like, you're just like telegraphing to the people that someone has been in there. Wouldn't you want there to be like an element of surprise or whatever? That's just something I don't like about movies. It's stupid. But anyway, so when they get to his cabin, some Rambo-looking motherfucker named Morgan is sitting at the dinner table and tearing into some meat like he is a ravenous beast himself.
Yeah.
He also uses copious amounts of ketchup, as can be seen.
He's got this huge bottle of Hunt.
I know.
It's like huge. It's like the size of his head.
I didn't even know they made him that big.
I vaguely remember those big bottles like that when I was a kid. Like, seeing them on the shelf. I don't think my parents ever bought that big of a bottle.
It makes sense, though.
It's like a gallon of ketchup.
Will lives in the cabin, so he probably doesn't go shopping very often, you know? So
yeah,
he probably has to buy in bulk. So that's my reasoning behind it. That makes sense, right? But he's eating this nasty piece of meat. I don't even know what the hell he's eating. And he's, like, really tearing into it. And he's got, like, meat juice all over his cheeks. And he's, like, growling and shit.
And he's not using any utensils or anything. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, no, other than the condiment, the ketchup. That's the only thing he's got to, like, season this meat, I guess. I don't know. And then Paul's like, what did you do to my raccoons? And then he pretends that he's eating Paul's raccoons. I'm like, okay.
I find it weird that the only question that any of them ask why this strange guy is sitting at their table is, what did you do to my raccoons?
That's it. That's the only question. Will says, like, make yourself at home, sarcastically, which, fine. But still, that should be followed up of, who are you? Like, what are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing here, dude?
Why are you eating all of my ketchup that I stocked up on, that now I'm going to have to go back to the grocery store 45 miles away from here, you know, or whatever.
And presumably my random meat that I have.
Yeah, I'm thinking that he hunted whatever that was and cooked it and just was tearing it. I don't know. It looked like fucking tan, whatever it was. Uh-huh. I'm like, I don't want to eat tan meat. Don't know what that just looks weird to me. I'm never going to eat anything that looks tan that's an animal that just, whatever. And then, and so the raccoons are alive, thankfully, and they're fucking up the kitchen, spilling milk and jam and tearing into the sugar. And they bite Paul because he goes, ouch. And so wild raccoons biting people. Is that safe? I know that people in the forest tend to live a little bit more rugged lifestyle, but I'm pretty sure they still can have the same diseases that other people
can
have.
Get rabies,
like,
or
yeah, you know. I'm pretty sure they're not immune to like what the regular population can go through when it comes to like getting bit by a raccoon who could carry rabies. And Paul is literally, again, so that's the other thing too. There's so much weird laughter in this movie that makes no sense. Like, they just laugh for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And the laughter is so fake and insincere, and it's just weird, man. I don't know. What else happens? Do you have any notes? Because I don't want to just read.
Yeah, I do.
I don't want to just talk through the whole thing, because I could do that if I want.
Oh,
I
yeah. But no, we're good.
Do that.
So basically, we find out that, you know, this guy eating and stuff is this guy Morgan, who is like a big game hunter that was hired by the idiot sheriff that we kind of met earlier in the movie. What ends up happening is Morgan finds out that Paul knows Bigfoot somehow. After they have this weird encounter where Morgan is just randomly laying all of his guns out on a bed, which is not creepy at all.
And, as you do.
Yeah.
As you do. Just lay up all your guns in the bed and you sleep on top of them.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's better for your back than laying on a rifle, you know? So
nope. Exactly.
I mean, some people, you know, they like to curl up with a teddy bear or a, you know, or a blanket or a pillow or something like that, you know. I personally have an AK-47 right underneath my pillow.
That's safe. It's good.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that thing's loaded as well. So.
Yes. I mean, I shot off my ear once, but that's okay.
It happens.
Yeah. What? Oh, sorry. Bad joke.
Sorry, talking to your wrong ear. Yeah.
Anyways, Paul basically tells him that he met Bigfoot and all this stuff.
Yeah, why would he say this? Like,
because the writing's bad. And
knows this guy's a psycho already from first meeting him. He's like, by the way, I know Bigfoot. Please don't kill him. Like, why would you? Okay. Sorry, go ahead. That was a thing that bothered me.
Well, whenever I meet someone, I tell them about somebody else that I know. I'm usually like, hey, I have a nephew. Please don't kill him.
Exactly. Sure. Why not?
What the fuck? He begs him for info on it, and he appears to want to kill Bigfoot or capture him or something because he's this big game hunter. Then Paul has a random nightmare when he's sleeping in his dad's bed because Morgan somehow got Paul's bedroom.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
I don't know. The thing is, I guess the cabin must be owned by the state so they can make him take this guy in or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It is government. That's what Will said, actually. It's government property. Gotcha. All right.
So then they go on to meet this big rich guy randomly who has no point to be in the movie whatsoever.
He doesn't. It's stupid.
His name's Mr. Wagoner, and he seems to be a big asshole. He's got a random young, girlfriend in a bikini in a kid's movie.
Oh, I thought no sex. I thought there was supposed to be no sexual innuendo in this movie.
Well, I think you're reading into it. This girl just was wearing a bikini because it was hot in the winter.
Exactly, yes. So that's rule number one the writer broke. He's like, fuck this. I'm gonna break all the rules at some point in this movie. He does. He breaks all three rules at some point.
Oh, I know.
Which is him saying, fuck you to the people who commissioned him to write this.
He wants them to find this random creature that's out in the, forest. And he wants them to, find it and kill it.
Yeah.
So then they venture off into the forest, and they're by this waterfall. And Paul remembers that that's where he met Bigfoot in the summer.
Oh no!
Yeah, that would have been a better movie, Bigfoot in the summer.
That would have been actually.
Yeah, I want to see that, Bigfoot wearing sunglasses, just tanning and stuff. Oh wait,
people aren't as fascinated with Bigfoot as they used to be, though. It's kind of sad.
I mean, this came out, I think, the same year as Harry and the Hendersons.
See, that's what I was thinking this was going to be. This was going to, they were trying to make a knockoff, but then they made a much weirder movie.
That barely features Bigfoot.
And that's the other thing, too. Bigfoot's hardly in this goddamn movie. It's such a tease, And
So they find this cave that, that Will says, I've never seen this cave before. He's like the freaking ranger around there, and this isn't that far from his cabin, and he somehow has never seen this cave. I don't know.
It's poor writing. It's what it is. Yeah, it's poor writing.
So they decide, they're going to go into the cave, and Paul doesn't want them to, because Paul sees Bigfoot standing up above the cave, and because his little necklace is glowing, and they find like 50 or 70 cans of Coca-Cola emptied in there.
Yeah, like what all, the hell is all, this
all
about?
Crushed. I mean, this is more cans of Coke than you would find in a typical 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I don't know where he was getting this shit from.
And then they find this radio playing rock and roll music. I just love how they say, it's playing rock and roll music.
He literally says, Jim says, rock and roll music, Yeah, you can just call it rock music, dude.
It's nobody even in 1987 was like, man, I'm going to go to one of them there rock and roll concerts.
At this point, it's just called rock, man. It's been 30 years since rock and roll started. We're good. And then that's my point, too. The whole Coke thing, so many of these movies have the creatures obsessed with Coke. And the thing is, too, I'm not really certain that's a good thing because, these are not human creatures, right? So Paul introduces Coke to a non-human creature who may not have the proper digestive system and organ functioning to consume, and he just thinks it's fine to keep giving this thing to him. Like, dude, you might be hurting your friend by giving him the shit that he likes, sure, but it might be really, really bad for him. I mean, it's bad for humans, but might be even worse for Bigfoot. Plus candy? So you're just giving him candy and diet, and not Diet Coke, just regular Coke. And,
The next movie is called The Wilderness Cries Diabetes. And
it's so candy and Coke. That's Bigfoot's diet, apparently, that Paul thinks is. I mean, Paul's only a child, so I guess we can forgive him for that, I guess. But then again, you know, other people should be looking after Bigfoot that maybe are older, you know, instead of just having children for friends, maybe an adult, like, hey, Bigfoot, you know, we know you like this stuff, but you can't be drinking Coke all the time, bro. Yeah. Like, you need to drink water.
That's why, like, Harry and the Hendersons was a good movie, because you had the whole family. You had, like, John Lithgow and, like, basically, exactly. You know, try to take
it
care of.
It wasn't just the kid giving them Skittles every single morning, noon, and night. You know, like.
The thing I'm trying to figure out, too, is did Paul bring, like, one can of Coke a day to him? Or did he bring, like, all 50 at once? I'm just trying to figure this out, because, like, how does...
I would think he'd probably bring a few a day. Probably not one, but maybe, like, three or four.
I was just trying to figure out, because if it was a big bunch of them, I was just trying to figure out how Will never noticed that Paul, like, took that much Coke from the cabin or wherever. Because I doubt there's, like, you know, speaking of a 7-Eleven, I doubt there's a 7-Eleven in the middle of the forest where you can just
probably not buy
some Coke. That'd be cool, you know? And, like, maybe that's a good job for Bigfoot to take over later, you know? He can open up. You can open up a, like, you know, a 7-Eleven or a Circle Sasquatch or something, you know, and then.
Oh, I like that. Circle Sasquatch. I like that. Yeah. And plus, too, we know that Bigfoot apparently doesn't care about the environment too much, because he's just got cans of Coke just crushed.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. They made this big deal about how the cans were crushed and trying to decipher what kind of animal could crush the can in a specific way.
Yeah.
What? Why? Okay. I mean, they're forest rangers, so I guess maybe they're supposed to, like, detect that shit. I don't know.
Well, maybe Bigfoot does care about the environment, and he was just, because they were kind of all gathered together, and maybe he was eventually going to try to find a bag to put them in so he could recycle them.
True, because, yeah, he can't be seen, so he doesn't know how to throw them away. I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So then we have a scene later where Jim sees a bear and basically starts making out with it. And
what was that?
I don't know. There's, like, this wild bear that they call, that's named Old Big Mike. Not just Old Mike or Big Mike, it's Old Big Mike.
Yeah, you gotta have all three words,
And Jim literally goes over and is, like, hugging him, like, you know, it's like his long-lost girlfriend or something. And somehow the bear doesn't eat Jim.
Because the bear has apparently been domesticated in a forest?
Yeah, like
wildlife.
All the animals in this movie seem to be domesticated somehow. But...
Which is weird, because it's for wildlife.
Uh-huh.
It's not a sanctuary. It's an actual fort.
Yeah. So as they're going, they discover that there's, like, some poachers that have been hunting animals.
No.
Yeah. And while they notice that stuff, Morgan finds this big footprint that looks like a Bigfoot footprint.
Because nobody could mimic that in real life to make it look like a huge foot, right? Like, nobody could, like, design, like, a Bigfoot and then just, like, put it in the mud to, like, trick people. That would never happen, right?
I hate to break it to you.
What?
People have done that for...
Damn it. This guy...
Decades.
You mean to tell me, has been all over the world, but he's just mainly India, which is kind of weird. Why India specific? He says... Jungles in Africa, rainforest in the Amazon, and it goes mainly India. Why? Why would it be mainly whatever? Who
well,
cares?
India's a big place, so maybe that's why.
It is. No, yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
But
I'd like to take this guy on a snipe hunt, but because maybe he'd believe they're real too. Did you ever go on a snipe hunt?
A snipe hunt? What's that?
Okay, so when I was in Boy Scouts, we were staying at a cabin in the forest in the winter, and the older Boy Scouts took us out on this thing called the snipe hunt. It is a one-legged bird. This is their version of it. There's different ones.
Okay.
That comes out in the winter, and you can go out and try to find them and you know, either take pictures of them or do other things, you know. And so they would go out and they'd make little tracks of this one-footed bird in the snow. They'd fake them like this. Like people have faked Bigfoot footprints. And and the whole time they're trying to convince the young kids that these are real animals that you're out looking for. I think different troops probably have different versions of a snipe, but the one I had, it only had 1 foot and with three little claws on it. And and I totally did not buy into it. I was like, this isn't real.
So you're not a believer, like Morgan is. You don't believe in.
I kept saying it the whole time, and all and the older kids are like, somebody tell him something.
Like, right? No,
I just happen to be smart.
Come on.
Do you have dreams that you want to achieve but are scared to do so due to self-doubt, fear, and other people's criticism? I have just what you need. You need a dose of the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, where I interview guests that will motivate and inspire you to stop at nothing to achieve your dreams. And always remember, if you believe, you can achieve.
The Living the Dream with Curveball podcast is available on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, everybody, why don't you give the old Black Lincoln Collective podcast a listen? We're funny, we're fat, and we're here 24/7 at blcpodcast.com. Anytime you want to listen, anywhere, all your favorite podcast apps. Of course, we have a YouTube channel where you can stream live with the show. Check out our shorts. We're funnier the less you hear of us. That's been a Black Lincoln Collective podcast at blcpodcast.com.
Finds this, you know, things, and he's like telling Paul, he's like, this is our little secret, you know. So
I know, which is weird. So now we got secrets into you know,
and most of the time when Morgan's talking to Paul, he's not that far from Will, but somehow Will just doesn't notice anything.
Will he's in his own world. I don't think Will was ever really prepared to be a father. And so
where's Paul's mom?
They never say. They never say if she died or divorced. There's nothing.
Yeah.
No mention. She is like just non-existent, apparently. Maybe they shunned her or something. Maybe they're part of some like really strong religious cult or something. And they're like, we do not speak her name. But they don't seem very religious. I don't know. And then maybe it's a political cult or like a nature cult. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. And so... Don't they go? Yeah, they go to a wildlife sanctuary to take care of this bird.
Yeah, they find an injured bird. Yeah, take it down.
And then
Helen.
Yeah, Helen, who she's a great actress, totally believable person.
Doesn't look like a Children of the Corn or something. You know, that's
no, little, yes, there's no, nothing to be worried and worrisome about that. But then again, so there's a bunch of animals there, right? And I am convinced that Paul doesn't understand the concept of a wild animal. I just don't, because,
yeah,
you know, we've already had the bobcat situation. We've got the raccoon tearing into his flesh and he like laughs about it. And then, so maybe this is perhaps why he's made friends with Bigfoot so easily. He's got no sense of danger. Like he just, like, for all we know, Bigfoot could just tore him in two and he'd be laughing the entire way, you know, cause he just doesn't get it. And then, and he keeps taunting and pushing the buttons at the several wild cats. He's got something with the cats. I don't know what it is, but he likes to taunt them and make fun of them. It's weird because one of them growls at him. Meanwhile, this cat's got bloody bandage around its side.
And this scene where he's going around looking at all these animals, for some reason, we have to go with him.
It goes on for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, you could have cut this out of the movie.
This movie would only be about 45 minutes, though, without all the extra crap that they throw in.
Yeah.
And that's why he did it. But yeah, he's got this several thing with cats where he just like likes to mock them. Like the cat growl. Again, the cat is hurting. I think it's a female. And she's got a bandage around her side and there's blood. So presumably she got shot or got bit in the side. So she's in pain. And then she growls at... See, that's the other thing. She doesn't growl at all first. She kind of waits a few seconds because sometimes cats, you know, don't like it if you stare at them too long. They think it's like you're trying to intimidate them or whatever. So she gives Paw a good 5 or 10 seconds to kind of, all right, you saw me, move on, go away. And he doesn't. So she growls at him and goes, oh, shut up. Really? Really? Come on. Your dad's a forest ranger and you're telling animals to shut up. Come
yeah.
on. Let's
yeah.
let's get real, Paul. Fucking piece of shit. And anyway, sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, you're good. You're good. So like he's looking at these animals and shit, and there's something is presumably Bigfoot and another animal steal one of the deers. While they're inside of Helen's place, but also while they're inside of Helen's place, Creepy Morgan.
yeah, like that.
Yeah. It's like instead of Captain Morgan, he's Creepy Morgan. He's got his own beer. Anyways, or alcohol or whatever.
He's got his own.
He's in the cabin and he's looking at this book and it's got a statue of Bigfoot in it. And he's looking at Paul and he motions for Paul to come over like in a creepy way.
I know. What was that about,
and he's like, you know, basically like saying like, you know, Bigfoot's real because there's a picture of a wooden statue of him.
Yeah. What does that even mean? Why would that make him real by a statue of, I don't get it.
I've seen a statue of a unicorn and that doesn't mean they're real, but
the thing is, he's a professional game hunter. He's one of the best in the world, at least according to him. Then again, he is creepy and weird, so maybe he would make that up. Who knows? He might not even be a game hunter. He might just con the sheriff into telling him that he is and just hired him to do the job. You know?
He's some guy that's never left the city until that day.
And then he's like sitting there creeping on Paul, acting like a
pedophile.
I don't know. I'm not going to say the word, but yeah. he's kind of got weird vibes. That's all I could say. Yeah. You know,
definitely. And so basically they find that, you know, this like supposedly two tracks, which I don't know what they're trying to imply there, because there's, it is one of the tracks that they see Bigfoots and the other one, another animal. What is going on?
That's what I thought was implied. But then again, he would have noticed that one of those tracks would have been Bigfoot's tracks because of how big the foot is, right? Yeah. So
I'm confused.
I guess they're just two other animals.
But they said a normal animal wouldn't be able to break the cage like that or something. So it's like,
I don't know. So maybe, but then again, you would know though, because you would see a huge footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would already give the game away, like, well into like the first half of the movie, basically. And though it's not Bigfoot, maybe Bigfoot sent
were Bigfoot prints and they just didn't know what they were. And they were just like, oh, it's some kind of animal. So
maybe, yeah, he covered his tracks to make it look like it was two animals. Like maybe he's walking on like a side.
Yeah, but this is something they never come back to. That's the other thing too, though.
They don't. No, of course not. Because why would they? Just because there is no script in this movie. It's just random things that happen.
So they go off into the, you know, woods, you know, trying to find this creepy animal that they're chasing or whatever, and they run into three drunk biker guys.
My god, these guys
in another pointless scene in the movie.
everyone's acting is either completely dry and emotionless or just so over the top. It's like nobody literally nobody in this movie is a good actor. I would think at least one person. They got a whole, I'm convinced maybe they got a whole cast of extras and they just decided, guess what, you're the star of this movie now,
or they're
go hog wild, it's gonna be awesome. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'll do my best, you know. And
or they're like friends of the director or something.
That could be it. I would be hard pressed to find anyone in this movie who acted in this movie who's done anything before or after this. Maybe, but I don't think there will be. Personally,
I'm gonna look here really quick. It just got me interested. So
while you're looking, I'm just gonna talk for a little bit of that. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what else happens.
Some of my theories going on. Okay, so at the animal shelter, So they break through. Something tears through, either kills the deer or takes it away. It wasn't any blood, so I guess it just took the deer, which, okay, it's fine, I guess. before that, there was something to do with Paul. Not Jim. Morgan. God damn, I can't think of his way. Hi. Morgan I am convinced is a predator who possibly just escaped prison for committing various crimes of that nature, or maybe he just escaped too or got out, released, I'm not sure. And then he decided he's gonna reinvent himself as a professional game hunter. That would not explain all the guns he has, though. So he would not have to have those previously. I don't know. But it has another note I had. It's got a great soundtrack of really cool synth music that makes it sound scary. Like, this movie could have actually been like a horror movie of Bigfoot being like a scary dude or whatever, because the soundtrack is really, really cool. I tried looking for the composer. I can't find, you know, much to my chagrin, I cannot find who wrote soundtrack, because I would like to know.
It's let's see if we can see if we can find it here. It's
I couldn't find anything.
Fritz Hedy.
Oh, you found it already?
On the Internet Movie Database.
Was that the end song, or is that like the actual?
It just says music by.
Okay, because there was a song at the very end.
Oh, but yeah.
That could have been both guy. I mean, same guy. All right, well, that's cool. I'd like to see what else he's done.
He's still composing music to this day.
Nice. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, it looks like for a bunch of, like, religious, like, conspiracy theory documentary films. Okay, so...
Oh, boy. Yeah. Which kind of makes sense, though, because this movie's about Bigfoot.
The actors in this movie have all done at least a half a dozen things. I mean, there's like, except for like one, but the guy that plays Paul did like six things after this, the last thing being a couple episodes of The Wonder Years. And then prior to this, there was like six different things that the guy that played Will did, and like the guy that played Jim did like four or so things and stuff like that. Morgan is the only person in the main cast this is his only credit.
Oh my God.
So he was too creepy for anything else.
He's the only one, though, that actually has a personality in the movie.
I know, who actually can kind of act.
The one actor who can actually kind of act, he's like, you know what, this movie traumatized me. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
They made me play a creep, and now it's ruined my life. And
that's funny. So, I don't know. So yeah, what else goes on here?
So the bikers, they're roaring and being stupid, and then Will's like, you're not allowed over here on this side of the forest or whatever, which is not even a forest. At this point, it looks like a desert. So I don't know. And then and they're like, okay, well, we're not going to leave until we're good and ready. And he's like, I'm going to come back here, and you better be gone. And then Morgan's like, I will come back all creepily. I'm like, dude, does this guy like have it? I don't know what's going on with him. Is he like these guys? Is he going to like bang them? I don't know what's up. But like... He just has a weird vibe about it. I don't get it.
And yeah, then, like everything he says comes out that way. Yeah.
I think with him, there's like something sexually arousing with violence. I guess some weird thing he's got going on. That's my theory. And then this animal yells. I think it's Bigfoot yelling. So they're like, oh God, we got to get out of here. But one of them's like, I'm not leaving until I'm good and ready. And then he's drinking beer nastily, getting beer all over his fucking face. He's wiping his face with all the beer juice. And what's with people eating and drinking so disgustingly in this movie? It grosses me out. I hate that. Like, I hate it when I hate movies where people eat food in a disgusting manner. It's something that triggers me. I'm just like,
oh yeah, ugh.
Like, don't be a slob, dude. Like, don't, you're not a fucking baby. No, like, eat food like a human being, okay? Please, like, can we have that level of sophistication in this world? Can we at least have that? Apparently not for some people. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. That's just one of my pet peeves. But
it's okay.
And so Bigfoot, I'm presuming, takes the guy because it didn't look like another animal grabbed. It looked like he was being dragged.
I don't know. It could have been the tiger.
It could have been. Oh, tiger. We gave sorry. Away the.
Yeah, but I'm assuming anybody listening to this, as to any of our podcasts, has watched the movie or never plans to.
Who cares? Who cares? A tiger is the animal that's scaring everything. That's what it is. And
it,
so that's
it. Escaped that, that's from the it. Escaped from the circus.
Circus, yeah.
Yes.
And so the tiger is hungry. Well, no, I don't know if it is though, because the thing is, later on, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Paul and Will encounter the tiger. I don't think it's from the circus. I think that's what they thought, because the tiger looks at Will, and they have like this weird connection. And then the tiger decides to just walk in the opposite direction and doesn't even try to hurt them. I think it's because later on, when I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, so Will's like, okay, fuck this. Paul's got to go back to school. Like, I'm not going to have him be eaten by a tiger. Like, so he's like, sends Jim, and some racism happens here. So
he tells Jim first off to take Paul to the bus station to send him back to school. So yeah, I just want to make sure that's clear. Yeah.
And Paul runs away, of course, like he has throughout this whole movie. He just runs away from every adult in the entire universe, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's why I think he's got some kind of personality disorder. I think he's got some kind of defiance disorder type of issue, because he just runs away from every adult, just doesn't obey any authority at all. Just whatever he feels like doing. That's what Paul does, because why not? And then so he tries to run away from Jim. Jim grabs him. Paul says, "You're nothing but a dumb Indian."
Yes, he becomes randomly racist. It's like,
and then a few minutes later, he calls him dumb again. Doesn't say dumb Indian, but he said he's dumb like twice. I'm like, dude, show some respect to an adult authority figure that is a friend of your father. Mm-hmm. So already, that's a twofer right there.
Yeah, I mean,
he's already
and the thing is, it's like, why was the needed part in the script to add Indian to that phrase?
Just wanted to have racism against natives, because they already did it earlier too. Because the rich guy with the bikini girlfriend, he's like, "Oh, an Indian that can't even catch an animal, some Indian," and it's like, Jesus Christ, it's like. God damn, tone it down.
And I'm assuming that the actor is actually a Native American, so it's just like, why are you signing
that's
on
what
to
I'm
this?
Saying, like, it's like, what the, he looked like he could have been, so I kind of, feel a little bit sad that, he had to endure racism within the script itself, that, just act like it's totally okay, I guess, right? And then, so Will eventually, he catches up with Tiger. Luckily, it was him and not Morgan, so he shot the tiger with tranquilizer dart to put it, sleep for a little bit, because Morgan just would have just fucking killed it, because that's what he does. And so Paul then escapes Jim for third time, but then for some reason he comes back to Jim from behind him and taps him and scares him. I don't understand that. I just don't like. I don't think Paul has a plan for life at all. I think Paul only thinks in the moment, and then not in the cool, inspirational way, just stay in the moment, bro. I think he literally doesn't have object permanence. I think he just doesn't know what's coming next. He just, whatever. Sorry. And Paul is, I'm getting that irritated voice like I did when we did the Tooth Fairy 2 with that girl. Mm-hmm. And remember how I was getting really worked up about that character?
Yeah.
I've gotten a similar thing with Paul. It's like that just irritated voice I'm getting, where I'm just like, stupid child, just being fucking idiot, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And so he returns to Jim. He startled Jim again. Paul,
and there's no reason to this. He startles him. He runs away, but then he's hiding behind him and he startles him. It's like, what are you doing? Wake up your mind. Are you running away from Jim, or are you gonna try to scare him? What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. But not only that, we're talking about men who are on high alert for a wild animal that has been terrorizing the entire forest for presumably weeks at this point. And they have guns. And you're hiding behind trees making noises to trick your dad into thinking you're an animal. He almost shoots you. You tap someone on the back who has a rifle, who was on high alert. He could have shot you. Paul, read the room, or read the forest, rather. I don't know, but
Oh, I looked it up. I was just curious. John Tallman. Yeah, John Tallman, who plays Jim, is not Native American.
Oh, okay.
He's known for playing. It's worth noting that although the majority of his roles were that of American Indian characters, his family has no relation to the ethnicity. He simply was known for looking like an average member of the race.
Okay, so instead of hiring a Native American actor, we're gonna hire, okay, whatever, fine.
It's from old Hollywood, they would do that too. They would just put white guys and usually Italian guys in red makeup and make them play.
But don't be so woke, bro. Just let things happen naturally, bro. we'll finally get to equality naturally if we just wait another 1,000 years to happen naturally. Don't try to force it though, bro. Don't try to social engineer it, bro. Just gotta let things happen naturally, bro. Really? So like when it ended slavery, did that happen mm-hmm. naturally, or was there a war fought over it?
Yeah.
Like this whole idea, like now you start seeing like more, like for example, like athletes of different ethnicities that you would never see before. And then you really start to wonder, go, did no one of these races ever play these sports before? Or are they just now finally being picked for teams? Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, so there's no Asian basketball players. There's no Asian baseball players, like, or hockey players.
Or like the fact that that Elon Musk seems to think that planes crash bad surgeries happen because of diversity and inclusion.
Right. So they get mad about that. So it's like, oh, well, it's like, well, just let it happen naturally, bro. It's like, but it hasn't happened naturally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm finally starting to see people of different races playing hockey, for example. You're telling me that nobody for 50 years of that race played that sport until now, suddenly someone does. Like, oh, let's go hire that person. No, what happened was that they just didn't pick these people.
Yeah.
And now they finally are. So if your argument, I know this is a weird tangent, but like, I hate this argument of like, just let it happen naturally. It won't happen naturally. That's the point. You have to sort of push for it a little bit. And then it becomes natural. Duh. But whatever. Sorry. I just, that little thing gets me sometimes. It bothers me. You mentioned, you know, the guy not being Native American, somehow he's playing all these Native American roles instead of having an actor who is Native American who could play those roles. But then again, I don't think that actor would take too kindly to being called a dumb Indian, even in a script. So, you know. But anyway, so Paul runs away and he returns to Jim. Jim tells him to stay put, but of course Paul follows him. Jim's finally like, okay, fine, just come with me. God damn it, because he's not going to listen anyway. So they end up in an area where a lot of animals are just chilling, different kinds of animals.
Yeah.
Animals of prey, animals that are predator, all just kind of hanging out with each other.
It's like a scene out of Bambi all of a sudden, you know? It's just like...
Yeah. Like they're all just like living in harmony like the Bible said they would during the end times, bro. And we do have a little bit of that, though, symbolism with that, because they see a guy sitting on a log named Red Hawk, who Jim knows because he's a fellow Native American, or at least he's supposed to be. I don't know the actor. And he supposedly died 13 years ago. And he's like, nope, I woke up after 7 days and I had a vision. And then I broke out of the cave that I was sealed in. Like, huh, interesting. So died, woke up after a certain amount of days. Mm-hmm. He's sealed up in the cave. He gets out of the cave and all the animals are living in harmony with each other. Hmm. Kind of like the Bible talks about the end times when the lamb and the lion will lay down together without harming each other. Well, not, well, without the lion harming the lamb. I mean, obviously, doesn't go both ways. But he's like, no, man, he told me that's the other two. His big vision is that, oh, the animals need me. Well, of course, I mean, there's deforestation happening all over the place.
See my thing is, I'm not even sure if he's real or if he's a ghost.
That's the thing. Well, they both see him, but then again, they're both spiritual, both Jim and Paul. So maybe they just see him, but no one else does. He did have like a little light kind of shining on him, so maybe it was like a spiritual vision that they had, which is funny because he knows Jim, and it's like they haven't seen each other in like 13 years. He's like, nice to see you, Jim. He's like, by the way, can I talk to Paul? He just says, it's like, Jesus, dude.
It's like, fuck you. Fuck you, Jim. I know you're not a real Native American.
Exactly. It's like, wow, what a reunion.
Let me talk to the white boy.
Exactly. I'm like, God damn.
Foster Hood, who plays Red Hawk, is actually a Native American. He's a member of the... absentee Shawnee tribe of Oklahoma. So, but he passed away in 2008. So, yeah, okay.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty old when this movie came out. Yeah. I mean, so he already looked like he was in his like 60s probably or something.
He was born in 1923. He'd be 101 if he was still alive. So, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he tells Paul, like, oh, you know Bigfoot too, huh? He gave me one of these cool necklaces things too, or whatever. And it's like, okay, I guess. You know, like,
It's like, I thought I was special. I thought I was the only one that got one of these fucking necklaces. Exactly. Now I'm finding out that he's just giving them out like a necklace slut. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Exactly. And so he's like, you need to make sure to tell Bigfoot to go into the mountains. He can't live in the forest anymore because that Morgan guy is trying to kill him. Who cares? Morgan's one dude. You just take care of him, and then it's done. Like, you don't, whatever.
He should have been like, you should just go and fuck up Morgan and make sure he's dead.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm sure doesn't happen by the end of the movie. Now, Morgan totally leaves this movie unscathed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So don't worry about that.
Totally.
Anyway, but not really. But and so he's like, now make sure no one kills a tiger. Tiger needs to come back here for some reason. Okay, fine. And then I guess all the animals need to be collected. That's another thing, Noah's Ark. So we got two religious all the animals need to be him. He supposedly died and then came back to life 7 days later, not 3 days. Okay, 7 days later, and he was sealed up in a cave.
He needed more time to cook.
Out of the cave.
He needed more needed more time to cook. It's like he's in an oven or something, you know.
Exactly. He needed a little bit more time, you know, which is fine. It happens.
Yeah.
But and then so he's like, I can't go. Jim is there. He's like, you can go. So it's like now he's encouraging Paul to run away from Jim again. So now he's got an elder figure who is encouraging, you know, him to disregard authority, which,
yeah,
okay, you know, I don't know. And then so for some reason though, Jim already had a trap in place for him set up.
It's when, like, I don't know if Jim had that in place or if it was just a random trap that the kid actually happened to fall into.
Oh, true. And so this cougar or wildcat's trying to jump up and eventually actually grabs the net and it's trying to bite. So it's traumatizing, this movie. Like, I think these are real animals that were actually biting the actor.
Oh, yeah.
They fall. Jesus Christ. And then, and don't wonder why he's acting so severe in this movie. He probably did not have a good time on set. And, I mean, I wouldn't say it's quiet on set. You know? Like, well, no, it might have been because the guy who played Morgan was acting really creepy. So maybe, yeah, I don't know, it's similar to the Dan Schneider, documentary.
We'll get into that some other time.
And then, so I'm just rambling. So so he's like, ah, dumb Indian, right? He's like, yeah, exactly, fuckwit. Like, and he drags Paul into Helen's house, which apparently just right next to the trap, I guess. And then he's like, feed him, and I'll go gas up the car. Wait. So, and he comes back like 30 seconds later. So Helen was supposed to prepare a meal and Paul eats that meal in 30 seconds? What?
Unless some time had passed that we didn't know about. I don't know, but yeah.
I don't know. It didn't look like there was any Paul at the top. But then again, maybe time travel exists in this universe. Everything else does. Bigfoot exists. Weird necklace things that light up exist. Predatory, weird people who believe in Bigfoot exist who think seeing a statue of Bigfoot in the magazine proves that he's real.
I think I want to write a movie about Bigfoot time traveling in the summer.
Actually,
Bigfoot's time travel summer of fun and Coca-Cola. That'll be the movie.
That actually sounds really, really good.
Yeah,
you should write that. Or,
yeah.
and so, like, the thing too with Morgan as well. So, like, you know, the whole point where he's like, let's keep this our secret. So it's like, all right, so now you're an adult modeling behavior of deception to a child. So now Paul thinks deceiving people is good. So not just running away from people, not just disobeying their orders. Now actively deceiving them is okay behavior. Paul is going to grow up to be, unfortunately, a terrible adult human being if this is not nipped in the bud real fast.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, but that's just the harsh reality.
He grew up to be a serial killer. We just didn't see that movie later. He and Bigfoot
disregard for animals.
He and Bigfoot go around killing people.
I don't know. Bigfoot's pretty nice in this movie, though. That's the thing. Well, what we see of him of 2 seconds.
Well, he's nice to Paul. So I'm saying Paul takes Bigfoot on as his apprentice, and they go around the country in a VW bus, and then they time travel. This is the movie that I was talking about. So it's when Paul's an adult, he catches up with Bigfoot, and they're like traveling around the country in time and space and killing people.
Sure. I mean, that sounds better. And they got to enlist Morgan because Morgan's really good at killing. So they need to kind of convert him over a little bit.
They have their blind friend, Morgan.
Yeah. So what I don't get about Morgan as well. So there's this little chat between Morgan and Will that's really awkward. Is that Morgan's like, I've got bigger game to hunt. Right now, I'm going to make $1 million or whatever. And Will's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, you know, like we're trying to hunt a tiger. He's like, you wouldn't know, would you? And Will's like, no, I don't know. I don't care. Like, what are you talking about? There's a lot of this going on where, like,
it's funny. He's like, you wouldn't know, would you? Morgan, do you remember that you told Paul to keep it a secret between you and him?
It's like, of course,
his dad doesn't fucking know.
It's like, both Paul and Morgan do this throughout the movie, where they just like assume that other people are knowing what they're talking about when the whole point is to keep it a secret. Like, yes. What the fuck, dude? Maybe they are meant to be together. Maybe Morgan's like a real father, because they both have similar personality traits, you know, just being weird and
or maybe, like maybe, just maybe they're the same person.
It's a time travel issue, yes, right? And see? That could be it. Morgan could actually be a future Paul. Change his name, obviously, to avoid detection, or just to avoid detection of that they're the same person. But and so he's like, yeah, I'm going to get something really good. And Will's like, okay, like, shut up. Like, let me get the tiger. And he's like, he's trying to tell him, like, sucks to be you or whatever. He didn't say that. He's like, finally, like, okay, what are you talking about? He's like, Bigfoot. I'm going after Bigfoot. He's like, oh my God, I'm so tired of hearing about Bigfoot. Like, it's like, he gets it from his son. And now Morgan is talking about it. He's like, okay, I'm trying to get a tiger now. And he's like, I'm not sharing the spoils, bro. If I get him, I'm taking over. He's like, okay. He's like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to stuff him. I'm going to take him all over the world. People are going to pay a fortune just to... Okay, that's a big point right there. Why would people pay a fortune to kill, see a dead Bigfoot? Wouldn't it be better if you were alive? Like,
people used to pay to see dead bodies all the time.
True, but we're talking Bigfoot.
And then you know, you'd have those, like, you know, sideshows on the... like circus sideshows and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they would have, like, you know, ooh, come and see the dead body of a mermaid and shit like that, or, you know, a live mermaid.
But I guess so.
And then there was even times where they would they used to tour bodies of, like, slaves around the country and shit, like, back in the 1800s. So yeah, things are fucked up. Humans are.
I know.
Humans
but
suck.
I'm thinking with Bigfoot, you would want Bigfoot to be alive so he can, like, do tricks for you at least, or some shit. I don't know. But that's Morgan's plan, I guess, to kill him. And then Will's like, okay, fine. You can have your $1 million fantasy fairy tale. Let's just get the tiger first. And he's like, okay. Like, oh my God, dude. And then, and I guess that was before they shot the tiger with the tranquilizer dog. But, like, it's just like, okay. And then, like, I don't like Paul's facial expressions in this movie. He gets, like, really, really maliciously angry at people. Like, not just normal anger. Like, it's like he really wants to hurt people. He calls Helen a murderer. He's like, you murderer. And she's like, what are you talking about, Paul? Like, my dad's in danger. And, you know, it's all your fault if he's going to get killed. He's like, what are you talking about? And then, like, he gets really rough with her and is, like, trying to wrestle with her as she's trying to prevent him from, again, escaping an adult authority figure.
Well, at least he didn't call her dumb.
Yeah, he did not call her dumb. And then she's like, you got to take me to my dad. And she's like, oh, okay. And just, like, changes her demeanor altogether. That's and fair. Just gets, like, we'll just take the truck. And for some reason, the truck has no gas that she didn't think of filling up or, I don't know.
And then they run out of gas, and then they're attacked by the tiger.
The tiger somehow, which I'm not sure a tiger would ever do, is break the fucking back window with its paws. I don't think a tiger would even know how to do that, like, intelligent-wise. Like, I don't think that would even be a thing that it would think of.
I tell you what, okay. We're gonna get a truck, you and I.
Okay.
And we're gonna go to the zoo and go into the tiger cage with the truck.
Oh my God.
Just see what happens.
I mean, I'm sure a tiger would try to do something, but I don't think a cat is smart enough to know how to do certain things. Like, yes, cats are smart in a sense. Like, they, like, for dogs, for example, a lot of dogs.
My mom's one cat could use the toilet. So they
have, like, a certain degree of intelligence that, like, doesn't really exist in dogs, for example. Like, a dog will just kind of
chase you in circles, whereas a cat will know how to cut you off, right? So they have that, they have that extra layer of intelligence to know that it doesn't have to work as hard to kind of get to you as a dog would just sort of chase after you. No offense to dogs, I'm just saying that that's cats have that. I guess a dog could be taught that, but it doesn't really come.
Well, it's like they always say about a dog will chase a car, but what will it do if it actually catches it?
Exactly. You have no idea. And then, and so this cat is like a horror movie. So that's rule number two he broke. So there's a lot of horror scenes in this movie, like the tiger bashing in the window and trying to get in. And then he got the really creepy music, like the freaking dungeon synth music before that even became a style of music somehow. It was in this movie.
Yeah,
like it's 30 years too late. I mean, beforehand.
It's like Legend of Zelda music or something.
It is. It's really creepy. You got the really creepy pictures of Bigfoot just like standing around. So that's kind of ominous. So he broke the sex rule with the bikini lady. He broke the horror stuff. Is he going to break the violence rule? I don't know. We'll see.
So they're in the truck and the tiger attacks, and then the other dudes are in their Jeep and start firing towards in the air or something to scare the tiger away from Helen and Polly. And they chase after this tiger through different terrain in this supposed forest. There's like snow on the ground, then there's no snow on the ground, then they're in a ghost town. Like,
yep,
that looks like the set of some old Western movie. Makes no fucking sense. And they chase the tiger into like this old like mine shaft, and Paul runs into the cave of the mine shaft after his dad and Morgan and Jim after he's told to stay out by the Jeep, you know. So and this is another reason I don't want to have kids. And so while they're in there, they're looking and chasing, and they basically have a scene where they tranquilize the tiger, and when they take the dart out of the tiger, it is obviously not the tiger. It is a tiger patterned blanket.
Oh my god!
That they're pulling it out of. If you look, you can tell that it has a different it has a different pattern than the actual tiger that they've been chasing.
Wow!
So.
That's ridiculous.
I'm watching it, and that's the first thing. It's like, okay. And But my thing is I'm like, that's not actually a bad idea of a way to pull that off.
Well, it's not. You don't want to get freaking mauled by a tiger.
Yeah, so it wasn't a bad idea, but they could have got the pattern just a little bit more exact. And they did have it. It was like they had it like look like it was like still breathing. Like it was, but it was obviously.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was obviously like somebody probably underneath it just moving up and down or something, you know? So they Paul has run off and he runs into Bigfoot. And he tells him, you know, you got to leave to the mountains before this fucking creepy sex offender looking guy is going to kill you. And then he starts to take off. They, you know, they have their like little hugs and shit, and you know,
and
like,
just looking weird. The Bigfoot guy looks fucking weird, man.
He has like no fur on his hands. They're just his regular hands. The rest of the costume is like hairy. But
either that or he's got poor circulation, which that's sometimes diabetes, so it could be from all the Coca-Cola that he's been drinking.
He used to have hair on his hands until Paul gave him all
good
the
job,
Coke.
Paul. Good job.
he's now got soda hands. Anyways.
Soda hands.
Yeah. But so he tells him to leave and everything, and then Paul goes back into the mine shaft and try to find his dad, and he's yelling for him, and then some big rocks fall onto his dad. And so Paul's trying to help him, and he calls for Bigfoot because he can't save his dad by himself, which was the whole point of him. I'm sorry. Anyway, so
yeah, the whole point was him, your father's in grave danger. Yeah, because of you.
Yes.
Made this happen, Paul.
If you would have just stayed at your fucking school, none of this would have happened. But then again, I think the main reason, I think what we're learning here is that he wasn't sent to save his Will, who he thinks is his dad. He was sent to save his real dad, who is Bigfoot.
Yeah. Or it could also be a time loop thing because, you know, because Morgan becomes his future self and he's there to try to kill Bigfoot. And so he has to warn Paul and the Paul of the past to basically, so it's like a time loop. It just goes over and over again. Young Paul has to make sure that Morgan or future Paul can't kill Bigfoot. And it just goes on forever.
Yeah, this is a better story than this movie. Anyway, Bigfoot saves Will and disappears before Will wakes up. And then the other people come by and Morgan has run off.
He sees
Bigfoot and he goes and chasing after him. And before he catches up to Bigfoot, he's in this little area of the woods and Red Hawk is there with a bunch of animals.
Yep. He's chilling again.
Yeah. And then he's blinded by the light off of the slutty Bigfoot necklace. And and then an eagle comes down and claws his eyes out.
That's rule number three broken, violence. every rule, all three have been broken. This guy's like, fuck you. Like, I better break all three.
And so we don't know what happens to Morgan after that. He just kind of goes into this cave.
Well, he screams for about 2 minutes straight and runs off. Somehow he doesn't ever run into anything or run into the ocean.
No.
What's weird for being blind and just being able to magically not hit anything as you're writhing in pain and screaming. What's funny though is that I was watching the subtitles, right? In Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And it says Morgan screaming at one point. And then underneath that, it says, "War music continues."
did you pay for this?
No, it's not. It's just it's on Amazon Prime for
Oh, it was on Freevee.
Well, I watched it on Prime, but I guess it was.
Yeah, through, it had ads, right?
Yeah, it had ads. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was just making sure that you didn't pay for it.
No, I didn't pay for this. No,
because honestly, if you would have paid for this, our friendship would have ended. I'm joking.
Yeah, I would have been so angry at myself by painting. But so I was laughing so hard last night because I was this movie made me really delirious. And then it just says Morgan screaming. It says warm music continues. That's the great music. Have someone screaming in the background.
Music can make a scene. So anyways, the rest of the group are back at the cabin and they're eating turkey and stuff. And they start hearing these noises at the door and it ends up being the mom of the raccoon cubs, which Breddy fucking Paul doesn't want to give back to the mom.
Exactly. He's like, shut up, Paul.
They're mine.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. You can't own another creature, man. Oh yeah, I guess you can.
But the mom is already at the fucking door. Yeah.
So then we go back to Paul's back at school. It's Christmas time and he's turning in some test or something to Mr. What's his name?
Douglas.
And then the teacher admits that he loves fairy tales.
Yep.
And then tells, in a totally not creepy way, he tells him, can I come with you next summer?
Yeah, exactly. Can I go on vacation with you? Yes, go on vacation with your 10-year-old student for a whole summer. Where you gotta sleep in the same fucking cabin? Are you gonna take Morgan's room so now Paul doesn't have a room again sleep in?
Yeah. So basically he says you can't see him because you're an adult, and then he says, but if you believe hard enough maybe you can, and then Bigfoot with his lighting crew and his smoke machine appear outside the window of the school, and they get to meet Bigfoot because, you know, good old Mr. Douglas truly believes. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the end of our movie.
That's it. That's the whole fucking movie. Nothing happened in this movie. This review could have been 2 minutes long if it actually went through what actually happened.
Yeah.
Aside from all the bullshit and it happens in between. So basically, without anything in between, what happens is Will leaves school because he's going to get expelled, finds his dad, they want to find Bigfoot, Tiger shows up, got to catch a tiger, and then they find Bigfoot. And that's the whole movie.
Yep.
That's it. That's all that happens in this goddamn movie.
Yep. Good times, my friend. Good times.
Mm-hmm. A sequel to this movie.
No, please, God, no.
Ryan Wilderness said we should write it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The time travel movie.
Oh, yeah. Cry Diabetes. And, yeah.
Bigfoot's Coca-Cola Emporium or something. I don't know.
Yes. Bigfoot's Wonder Emporium. No, what?
Yes. Yes.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, this, here's a, just a couple little trivia things. The Natural History Museum in the beginning of the movie is the Museum of Man in San Diego, which I think I went to
Okay, cool.
One time. So yeah, there's that. And then, I guess this was mostly shot in California, but it's like all like different terrains and it just looks like totally different places. Yeah, that's about the only trivia that makes any sense or matters. But the other thing I wanted to mention about that scene too, in the beginning when they have the big statue of him, there's a part where they're behind him and the statue is actually kind of moving. So you can tell it's just the dude in the suit.
I know.
It's so bad.
What the hell, dude? But that's the other thing. So why, I don't understand. Why was Bigfoot at the museum just letting Paul stare at him? Why didn't you tell Paul then that his father was in danger?
Well, the thing is, I don't think it was supposed to be Bigfoot. I think it was supposed to be a statue of Bigfoot creature, but it was actually just a fucking guy in a suit standing there.
God, that guy looks so creepy. That costume looks so creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For our sequel, we got to get that same costume. Anyway, so recreated.
We got to track it down. Yeah.
Not the same one. I'm sure the same one is not in existence anymore.
Probably not. Or it was like moldy or some shit.
So, do you have any final thoughts here before we wrap this up?
No. No, I'm exhausted.
Me too. So,
I'm so...
If you've made it this far with us, folks, just remember to check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, our website, alltoreal2.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show. Check out all of our social medias, our TikTok, as long as that it still exists. Before the government shuts it down in the United States.
Exactly.
You know, because we have freedom of speech here. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they're scared because everybody on the website is actually, you know, reporting true facts about what's happening in Palestine. But anyway, so, that has nothing to do with it.
Once then, Belia.
Yeah.
Oops, I'm speaking like... The way I'm snorting lately, sorry.
No, it's okay. So, but just be sure to check out all of our social media and go to alltoreal2.com to follow us. There's links to all of that there. Subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star rating wherever you can. And, you know, do it up, you know. Tell a friend about the show. Just, you know, be like, be an all too real tour.
Yes.
An all too real two-ite.
Yeah.
An all sure. too real two-ian.
Yep.
An all too real two-aholic.
Well, I want to promote addiction.
Okay, yeah, don't be addicted to us.
Yeah.
And if you are, you might want to seek help. And I can help you. All you got to do is go to alltoreal2.com.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Exactly.
Anyway, so, you know, be good to each other. Don't drink too much Coca-Cola.
Mm.
And remember that I love you. Bigfoot really loves Paul. And Coca-Cola and the rock and roll music.
Yep.
And Sesame loves you. And until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.